Good afternoon. I will call this meeting of the House Housing Finance and Policy Committee to order and note that we have a quorum present. Vice Chair Dotseth, have you had a chance to review the minutes? Representative Dotseth moves the minutes for April 8th. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The minutes are approved. Members, we are back on to our housing finance omnibus bill, House File 2445. Chair Igo, would you like to move House File 2445 to be back in front of the committee?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
And Co-Chair Igo, would you like to also move the DE2 amendment that we discussed yesterday to be in front of the committee?
So moved.
And we're not going to adopt the DE2. We're going to do the amendments first.
All right, members, and then just a little bit of lay of the land. We have a couple of amendments filed and a couple testifiers that have signed up to testify on the amendments. So what we're going to do first is go to the testifiers that have signed up, and then we'll move to the amendments and process them one by one, and then move hopefully to adoption of the bill and discussion by members before we adjourn. And so the first person that signed up to testify is Dariel Dannon, Executive Director with Greater Minnesota Partnership. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. Again, my name is Dariel Dannon, and I serve as the Executive Director of the Greater Minnesota Partnership. And we've been in front of this committee a number of times. Appreciate the opportunity to speak. Just a reminder, Greater Minnesota Partnerships focus on advocating for policies that support economic growth in Greater Minnesota. So I wanted to talk about two amendments, and I've had some side conversations, so I won't say too much about the A4. But I will just note on the A4 that the components of the bill that prioritize density in the funding awards could run into some potential problems, and I know there's a number of communities, Waite Park being one, and areas sort of around Worthington being another, where one of the things that is likely being built with these funds is single-family homeownership opportunities, particularly something like multi-generational housing. So that does tend to be a little bit bigger and potentially not as dense. And Waite Park is an interesting example because that community, over 60% of the community's tax base is commercial and industrial, and over 50% of the housing stock is rental housing. So they're very keen to build home ownership. But they wouldn't, with this bill, the priorities would, of course, lead towards density. And in communities like that, where there's already a lot of density and they're looking to diversify, it might not be ideal. But I'll just make that note on the bill. Appreciate, though, the bill author's intent here, and certainly on, you know, both of these amendments actually, I should say, very happy to work with you. I think we've had many conversations that we're very, very interested in supporting housing development. And so, you know, there's the devil's in the details as these things go, but very, very interested in supporting that as you're kind of thinking through opportunities. The A4 amendment is, you know, I don't have tons and tons to say about it, except for that it's interesting because it impacts all of Minnesota Housing's programs. And so one of the things that's important to remember, and I'm sure you all know, is that those programs range from extremely affordable housing with supports to home ownership opportunities and everything in between. And so, you know, this in some ways, you know, and I've had conversations with the author. It sounds like you're very open to continuing to evolve this language as you move along, and I'd be happy to be part of those conversations. Because I think we want to ensure that we're not kind of creating a blunt instrument as we're thinking about, you know, things like tax credits, things like supportive housing and everything in between. And we may want to be thoughtful about how this prioritization would work in practice. And I think as much as I appreciate the creativity here, I think one of the big sort of standout questions I have, which I don't know that we have an answer to today, is just getting a sense of what communities, particularly in Greater Minnesota, do have policies that would already set them up to receive these points and what communities don't. And because this funding is so competitive, we would assume that communities that already meet these criteria would likely get more funded and communities that didn't probably wouldn't. And so I don't have a great sense, you know, we don't have a lot of cities in our membership, work with folks who do. And so it'd be interesting as this moves along to get a sense of sort of particularly that first round of funding, who would meet those criteria and be likely to get funding and who'd be left out and need to make those changes, and try to get a sense of if this could potentially leave out greater Minnesota or small communities or otherwise. But again, appreciate the creativity, very interested in collaborating with you as you think about this and move things forward. That's all I have, sir, but happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Next, we have Libby Murphy, Director of Policy with Minnesota Housing Partnership. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Chair, members of the committee, nice to see you again. My name is Libby Murphy. I'm the Director of Policy of Minnesota Housing Partnership, and I'm speaking to the A4 Amendment. Reducing barriers to housing production can unleash new supply and serve as an important complement to state programs that provide direct subsidies to affordable and workforce housing constructions and maintenance that you're funding through the underlying bill. Restrictive land use and zoning policies artificially restrict the supply of new housing. Encouraging cities to reform local zoning regulations to accommodate more housing is an important pathway to easing housing cost burden over time. One benefit of encouraging these reforms is that it makes more efficiently and effectively deploy state resources. And the amendment is an important way for the state to encourage local governments that currently control land use to undertake reforms. In many communities, reform may require an incentive like this approach. The amendment provides some reward to localities that commit to redesigning their land use and zoning regulations to accommodate more housing of all shapes and sizes. The amendment gives local government tremendous flexibility in choosing one of the, I think it's six different options. And for cities that do the hard work of enacting local reforms, they will in exchange be rewarded with points. The amendment also grants Minnesota Housing flexibility in designing the scoring system. The amendment does not need to penalize a community. When a developer submits an application for funding, the developer strives to get as many points as possible, but no one ever gets all of the points. And so where they can't access certain points, they try and make up for it in another area where they maybe can get more points. A project that doesn't receive these land use points will have many other opportunities to claim points. And the amendment before you gives cities that choose to enact one of the proposed options the ability to claim those points. It's just an added bonus, a new category of points. I see this as an evolution of other ways in which numerous housing chairs have tried to encourage Minnesota Housing to consider practices that reduce costs and encourage development. The agency awards points to encourage other policy priorities, and this is no different than awarding points like access to transit, green building, playgrounds, et cetera. And if there is a concern, Minnesota Housing can work with stakeholders to address how a community might be able to score well in another area. So again, the amendment before you gives cities tremendous amount of flexibility. I think of this as a very light touch incentive, and I would encourage the author and the chairs and members to work with Minnesota Housing to ensure that it results in desired outcomes, because I think there is a world in which I think it's highly probable that there will be plenty of projects that will be awarded funding through Minnesota Housing that don't enact any of those changes just because of the way that current point system rewards lots of different things that a community can do. Thank you.
Thank you. So that is the full list of folks that have signed up to testify. Now we will move on to amendments. And first, I want to move the A1 amendment, which is a technical amendment that our nonpartisan staff suggested in reviewing the bill to correct a drafting error. Any discussion to the A1? Not? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The A1 is adopted. On to the DE2. Next, we have an A4 and an A5. I want to briefly speak to A5, which I'm going to speak to and withdraw, but just generally what these two amendments seek to do, which is to provide an incentive or a carrot, if you will, for cities that are adopting pro-housing policies that make it easier to build homes, especially homes that are more affordable, especially homes that are too often made illegal to build. The A5 is an amendment specifically to the Greater Minnesota Infrastructure Program that would prioritize in the scoring of these grants housing that is built to a greater density than the existing density. And the idea is to prioritize the kinds of housing we've been talking about in the housing supply conversation, things like single-family homes that are maybe a little smaller footprint, townhomes, and also multifamily. The language as drafted, I don't think quite meets where we need to get to on that, and so want to continue to work with stakeholders on that, and at this time would withdraw the A5. Next, I will move the A4 amendment. To briefly describe, this amendment would allow for Minnesota Housing to prioritize in their competitive grants for their programs the projects that are within jurisdictions that have pro-housing supply policies. And there's a list of them. One would include a jurisdiction that makes it easier to build multifamily within commercial corridors. A second would be a jurisdiction that allows for duplexes, ADUs, and townhomes in a majority of their single-family areas. Another is that the jurisdiction does not have parking mandates that greatly increase the cost of housing development, or large does not mandate extraordinarily large lot sizes. And the last, a jurisdiction that does not have aesthetic mandates that drive up the cost of housing. And so a development that is occurring in a municipality with that could earn more scoring points if that municipality adopts any of these local policies that have the net benefit of making it easier to develop housing and make it more affordable. And I see a few big benefits to this. The first being we, as we've talked about, need to make it easier to build housing and do it more affordable. And this is providing a carrot, not a mandate, but a carrot to cities to update their own policies in a way that will make it easier to build more homes. Second, you know, we should be judicious with our scarce public resources. And by targeting public resources in municipalities that have these pro housing supply policies in place, we can stretch our dollars further. And let me make an example would be, let's say a development is seeking to build single family homes in a community, affordable single family homes. If that municipality has aesthetic mandates that mandate things like a particular exterior finish or gables or balconies, that development is not going to be able to build as many homes, or not going to be able to build them at a more affordable price. And so given our scarce resources, we think it's judicious to be providing a little bit more of an incentive, a little bit more of a boost to creating housing in jurisdictions that are going to be building housing in a way that meets the needs of Minnesotans. This would just add one piece of the scoring piece, so this isn't a black and white, you're in, you're out, but it does add a boost to put our public resources where they can make the most bang for their buck. So that is the A4. Chair Igo, anything on the A4?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before we open up to the rest of our members who have any discussion, I'll just say you're exactly right what you said. This is a good and a friendly amendment. This is taking proven housing solutions that we've seen work in other states and adding just a couple scoring points to the criteria for these grants that people will be applying for. And this is a way for us to say, make these changes yourself at the pace you need, and then you can see how well they're going to work for you. And I think cities across our state are going to find out just how well these things will work if they try to take the step to implement these things. So I would encourage a yes vote on this one.
Any further discussion? If not, we'll move to the vote on the A4. All those in favor of the A4 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say no. The amendment is adopted. All right. That, I think, is the full list for amendments to the D2. And so now we will have member discussion before we move to the adoption of the D2. Representative Norris.
Thank you, Chair Howard. Thank you, Chair Igo, for putting together a good bill on behalf of the committee. I want to thank you for including a manufactured housing position in the bill. I think it's important to reflect that that's a unique part of our housing stock here in Minnesota, and make sure that we're directing resources to it. You know, as we continue to move throughout the process, I would encourage, I think there's, you know, the besides what's included in the bill for manufactured housing, I think there's some other perhaps higher priorities to where resources could be directed in the manufactured housing realm, in particular dollars for conversions, converting parks to resident-owned co-ops. Obviously, we heard a lot in the committee about some of the concerns that are happening around private equity. The more parks that we can help convert to those resident-owned co-ops, it puts the self-determination in the hands of the residents and can hopefully head off some of the concerns that we have seen in parks across the state. I'd also encourage looking at dollars for down payment assistance as well, again, allowing people who may be looking to buy their first homes. We know that these are really good, naturally occurring affordable housing, and so we want to encourage that. And then I was really thrilled to see the strong housing infrastructure bond position that we have in the bill. And while, you know, it may not be prudent to specifically earmark any of that for manufactured housing, my hope is that we can send a clear message that, you know, we expect a good portion of that to go toward manufactured housing all across our state so that we can continue having this be a great source of naturally occurring affordable housing for Minnesota residents. Thank you.
Thank you. Any folks over here? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I'd also like to pass on my thanks, along with Representative Norris, for what's in here for manufactured parks, home parks. We know there's more requests than are being funded for, like, the infrastructure and stuff like that. I would like to, when you compare to when you compare the different ways to provide housing, it's one of the more economic or the more efficient, I think, ways to do it. And that the more we can do it, we saw people in here, as somebody said, the stick homes as opposed to the manufactured homes, the cost comparative and how farther, how much farther the funding can go on a with the new home help. And because of the just the cost of them, example, $99,000 as opposed to a full size house, and how much farther you can get on a down payment with that. So I think the more that we look into that and make that funding available, I think will even improve immensely. And then also the ability for people to buy out and take their parks private. There's an example in Landfill, which is right off of Oakdale, those residents there, help of the county, were able to buy their park. And so they no longer had that worry that so many other people that we heard coming in. And so I think if we, the more that we can do that and make that available, we'll go a long ways to address our issue with affordable housing, because that is true affordable housing, very good housing. And I think that's something we can make sure those funds are available for those people that are looking to access that. Thank you.
Representative Nash.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and thanks, Chair Igo. I think that this is another good step in the right direction. I'm pleased to see that we are addressing issues relative to housing in the outstate. You know, Waconia is sort of right on that cusp. Other parts of my district might be considered by some to be outstate, mostly because it takes a long time to get there from the city core. I would invite you to come out. But I think that this is important because we all have a lot of information that has been brought to us by people who live in the outstate that getting housing out there is exceptionally difficult. I would also praise the creativity that came in the A4 amendment. I'll just be blunt. It's about damn time. We have talked about it until we are doing nothing but admiring the problem. And I think that with the extra points that will go along with the ability to compete for grants, it's going to be the carrot and stick approach that we've talked about so much. But it's still, in my opinion, I'm not the chair of this committee, but we still did not get enough done relative to that. This is great, but more is necessary to be done. So I think that this is really, really good. I commend both of my friends. You know, there's a body of us here that are very much dedicated towards changing housing policy, and we stand together taking the arrows, and very few people are giving us a chuck on the shoulder just yet, but I think this is a step in the right direction. But please don't think that, at least my part of we're not done yet. There's a long way to go. This is going to maybe chip away at some of the deficit we have relative to the 100 or 106,000 housing units that we are undersupplied. The day of the slow play needs to end, and I think that this is a good step in the right direction. Thank you.
Next, we have Representative Mamamia Hiltzi. Excuse me. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Howard, and thank you, Chair Igo, for the opportunity. So as a first-time legislator, it has truly been an honor to sit in this committee because I've seen bipartisan work on both sides. And so I want to say thank you specifically for House File 2114, for just being on top of the pile here. I jokingly say that in my statement, and so I'm really thankful for that. And what we just did here, you know, the support that we gave this bill for this bill is not just a policy decision. It's a lifetime of countless families across our state who are struggling to stay housed. So by investing and being proactive in providing solutions to prevent homelessness, we are helping to keep families together, maintain community stability, and avoid the far greater cost financially and human that come when people are forced into homelessness. So again, House File 2114 is just a powerful step forward, ensuring that no child has to wonder where they're sleeping tonight at night. And it also reflects the values we all hold, that every Minnesotan deserves dignity, safety, and the opportunity to thrive. So again, I'm so thankful, and I truly believe that we are stronger when we work together. And this action is a testament of what we can do, what we can accomplish when compassion, collaboration, and lead, and collaboration lead the way. So thank you once again to every member of this committee for the work that has gone into creating such, you know, a great bill, especially with the resources, the very limited resources we had. Thank you.
Next, Vice Chair Dodseth.
Thank you, Chair Howard, Representative Igo. I could just about end right there with it's really imperative what everyone else has said. This has really been a team effort to get this bill to where it's at, and I have to congratulate everyone's effort in this committee. It's an honor to work with a group of individuals like this that can work across the aisle and actually come up with realistic solutions that are necessary for all of the state of Minnesota, including greater Minnesota, and I appreciate the attention that everyone's placed into this bill, so thank you.
Representative Scrappa.
Just real quick, thank you, both leaders. I sit on four committees, three of them, capital investments, legacy, and housing, and you can't, it's the same. I mean, it is the same. We work together. It's not, you know, it's the other two, the money's always there, kind of, well, I shouldn't say always there, but the money's there, but we have to work together in order to spend it. So it's kind of infectious. It comes to this. This is easy, you know. So this was learning. Fun and learning. I do like the fact that the point system is not as onerous as changing the zoning kind of thing. We're getting a lot of pushback from the small communities on that. And I think that that kind of language is going to open their eyes and say, we're really not trying to take anything away from you. You just need to look at how are you going to expand housing. Housing's a big deal. And if you don't want to work together, you're not going to win by yourself. So I just think that's a great compromise, however it came about. I think it's a great idea that you did what you did, and I look forward to seeing how it gets implemented. Thank you.
Representative Hussein.
My colleagues have stated everything, so I just want to thank for congratulate for both chairs. And housing should be bipartisan. It should be working together. And we are working for the people of Minnesota. We address a lot of issue with less money. I wish we could have a little bit more. And I want us to come back next year to continue addressing the challenge that we see in housing. And I know it is a tough. You guys being in a tough task. But thanks for you, both of you, coming together and working together and to address this housing crisis that we see in the state of Minnesota.
Representative Igbaje.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to state thank you to both chairs, both Chair Igo and Chair Howard. You guys both came into this with a true understanding of the needs across the state of Minnesota from border to border. And I think this bill really reflects that. It has that, you know, that aspect of balanced and, you know, we're doing things outside the metro area, we're doing things in the metro area, we're doing things to really benefit both renters and homeowners. And I'm also really glad that, you know, at least on the House side, we have compared with what the rest of the budget looks like, we have a nice target. And I think what that shows is hopefully more people are understanding that housing is actually truly foundational. And if you want to see progress in the other spaces like education and jobs and healthcare, you need to make sure that people have a safe place to live and a place to go every night. So I appreciate both of you for making sure that you came together and you delivered on a budget that seeks to do that. And I will also echo Representative Nash, there's more to do. There's more to do when it comes to how we build, where we build, in which ways we build. And, you know, I'll also say, you know, there's more to do to making sure that we're protecting homeowners and tenants in their homes. So thank you guys very much and look forward to how this bill moves. Thanks.
Vice Chair Kozlowski.
Thanks, Chair Howard. And Chair Igo, I just got to say, as a first-time vice chair in this committee, it's been really wonderful the way that you're leading in really building out the bench and the capacity for more housing champions, and appreciate the way that you've operated this committee. And I got to say, I agree, Representative Scraba, that I keep going around from taxes to bonding to housing that DFLR, I don't know, might be becoming a Ranger or a Republican. But for real, this really is a yes and budget. And, you know, we've done more and more with less and less. And I think it's a testament to, you know, we want to do more, but to be able to do more with more is where we're headed as a state with housing. And this is supercharged, I think, with the HIBs. We heard, you know, supercharging thousands of homes, especially for lowest income Minnesotans, single family, multifamily, manufactured housing. I'm really proud of the work that we're doing to invest in the tenant and landlord resources. As we heard, 27,000 Minnesotans served in 87 counties, not a single county of ours that hasn't been touched, and getting access to their tenants' rights and helping improve the lives of Minnesotans to FHPAP. We know that saves lives. We know the need is closer to $350 million, but we can pay now or we can pay more later. As we heard, you know, it can cost $45,000 to get somebody out, a family out of homelessness, but with these investments, we can save funds on the upfront and save the state money to intervene rapidly. To the amendments, I also want to thank this committee and the work that so many have been doing to put their fingerprints on a choose your own housing adventure. I think we really need to go where the ball's headed, and this is going to make sure that we're maximizing state resources in health and human services to taxes. I've been sitting and listening to how challenging it is to build housing, but especially affordable housing, when we need to figure out how to add in supportive services. And so the more that we cost to build, the longer time, the more it takes away from those projects. And the last thing I just want to add that, you know, I hope as we go forward and we're going to have the first of this iteration and head to the Senate and come back and have more conversation, but that we do consider, you know, building more homes, but also the resources that people need to get in the homes with things like HECAD and first-gen home ownership. And also that it matters how we do this. And so the more that we can get moving in a different trajectory as a state with, I'm just going to keep hammering that, you know, how much privatize and the move to decommodify our housing system with things like social housing, it's not new. It's been done for many years in Vienna to New York to the states here with cooperative and land trust housing. And so just kudos to everybody. And I know that this threads a lot of needles, but it doesn't quite bring together the whole quilt. And so I look forward to doing that and make sure that Minnesotans have a stable place to call home.
Well, I'll make a few comments on the bill, but first I want to give a few thank yous out since this is likely our last Housing Committee meeting. And first want to say my thanks to Co-Chair Igo. You know, when I found out that Co-Chair Igo was going to be the Co-Chair of Housing, my initial reaction was, I'm not sure I've ever had a conversation with Representative Igo. We've served together but have not served on committees and haven't really worked together on many issues. And I think in our first conversation, you mentioned you really wanted this to be a committee where we worked in a bipartisan fashion to get things accomplished. And just right from the jump, that's the kind of relationship we've built, and it's how this committee has operated, and it's led to a really strong bill, and I think strong work for us to do together ahead on this issue. So I'm just very grateful that when the co-chairs pared down, I was co-chaired with you, Representative Igo. I want to give a thank you to all of our nonpartisan staff who are incredible, Katrina Highmark, Justin Cope, and Mary Davis. I want to thank our incredible House DFL partisan staff, Benji Brinks, Somya Kanan, Molly Peterson, and I also want to thank our GOP staff, Garrick Spenwin, Betsy Ritzer, and Luke LeBron. And I also have to thank my vice chair, Kozlowski, who got to chair what was going to be my first meeting when I was out with the flu and handled it in style. It's been a great partner in this work together. And so just so grateful for everyone on this team, I think, as folks have mentioned, it's been a team effort. This committee has been a team effort. Members, I truly believe that the defining challenge facing our state for the next many years is whether we will rise to the moment to address our housing shortage. Because as other folks have mentioned, everything touches housing. If Minnesotans don't have access to a safe and stable home, nothing else is going to go well. And we've heard it all session long from the Minnesotans that have come here to tell us that we need to do more, that the cost of housing is too high if you're a renter or if you're an aspiring homeowner or a current homeowner. And there's an entire generation of Minnesotans who are growing up wondering if home ownership is in the cards for them. And unless we do something, it won't be. You know, in 23 and 24, this legislature made historic investments in housing. And some of those investments are just starting to come online, and they will make a difference for thousands and thousands of Minnesotans. But still hundreds of thousands of Minnesotans are paying too much for their housing, more than 600,000 Minnesotans. 6 years ago, we had a 50,000 housing gap in terms of shortage. Now it's 100,000. Where are we going to be in another 6 years? And what I appreciate about this committee is we're putting our focus on this challenge and doing something about it. This finance bill and the work of this committee on a bipartisan basis will help change that trajectory, will help us build more homes, will help us create a future where Minnesotans can find, can work hard and find a path to home. Our $30 million investment in FHPAP is so vital. In this moment, we know that so many families are struggling and one bad break away from experiencing homelessness. And thousands of Minnesotans will be able to stay safe in their home in all 87 counties thanks to this FHPAP investment. And thank you to Representative Mamamia Hiltzley for your leadership on it. Our investments to build more homes and challenge in manufactured housing, greater Minnesota workforce, puts more dollars in the pipeline to build houses border to border. And our $100 million in housing infrastructure bonds will help us build some of the homes that we know, if not for that public investment, would not be built. It's so vital to keep that momentum going. It's such an important bill that will make a life-changing difference. And yet, as other folks have mentioned, it's not enough. It's not nearly enough. We know that more public investment is needed, and we know that public investment alone will not solve our housing shortage. We need to unleash our ability to build more homes, especially the kinds that are too often illegal to build and are the kinds that Minnesotans are begging us that they want. And so members vote yes on this bill, but know that our job is far from finished. This session is not finished, and in years to come, it's not finished. But I do believe, and this committee has given me hope, that we will meet this challenge together as a state, and this bill is an important step in the right direction. So let's stay diligent, and our first step is voting yes on this bill. And with that, I'll turn it over to my co-chair for closing comments on the bill. Co-chair Igo.
Thank you, Chair Howard. Well, thinking it's like, it's interesting this co-chair model, because when you both write a bill together, you don't want to repeat each other when you're talking about how good the bill is.
Yeah.
But I'll just start with, you know, mimicking those thanks to all of our nonpartisan staff, partisan staff, to our vice chairs, to our members. Just thank you. It was a really, really great committee. Chair Howard, it's been privilege working with you, looking forward to working together into the future. And I mean, I think the experience that I've had in this committee, I think other folks will share too, is this is why I enjoy being a legislator, is when we can come into a room like this, and we've had some disagreements in here, we've had a lot of agreements, and we've put together a really good bill, and we did it very quickly, and we're moving a good bill onto the House floor with a target that is not just looking out for one part of our state, it's looking out for our entire state. That's something we should all be really, really proud of. And I know when we had that conversation, Chair Howard, that we said, let's set the tone to show how a committee should run when we're tied. And I think we set the standard. We set the gold standard. And that took all of us to do. So just thank you to all that. I talked a lot about how pillars of this committee I wanted to look into: stability, affordability, and diversity. The bill in front of us today is going to accomplish all of that. It's going to make sure that we have diverse types of housing stock getting built. It's going to make sure that there's stable housing options for every Minnesotan. And it's going to make sure we have affordable options for all Minnesotans. That's a fantastic thing we accomplished. But I do have to echo, the work's not done. And the amendment that was worked on today and brought forward in a bipartisan way, that is the first step forward to things that we do need to get done. Because those are proven things that are working. And we need to keep driving the message home on that. And this committee's done a very good job at that. We have housing champions in this room that have been working in our respective caucuses, crossing the street to the other body that I can't name, and doing a lot of good things to spread the message on just how important changing some of these things are. Because dollars and investment matter, but what matters most is good policy. And when Minnesota enacts good policy, which we are going to do, then we're really going to see the state take off. We're going to see our communities thrive. From right here in St. Paul to up on the range in Hibbing, we can really do a good thing that's going to help every generation of Minnesotans. And that's why, I think Representative Scraba, you said it, that's why housing is just so paramount. And I think every member has iterated that in some shape or form. Because if we want to protect future generations, we want to take care of elderly generations, we want to make Minnesota the most attractive place to plant your roots and be a part of this great Minnesota nice community, well, we have to do the hard work. And this committee is doing that. That's why we have a great bill in front of us today, and it's just been a privilege to work with every single one of you, and I couldn't be more proud of this bill and what we accomplished together. So thank you.
And members, in the rush for our love fest for the bill, we almost forgot to adopt the DE2 as amended. So let's let's do that. Yeah. So members, I'll move the adoption of the DE2 as amended. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And then I will move that House File 2445 as amended be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. And our budget bill is on the way to the Committee on Ways and Means. Members, it's been a pleasure. It's been a joy. Thank you so much. And with that, we are adjourned.